Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It's about that time. Happy Thursday to you all. June 27, 2019. Another gorgeous day here in mid-Michigan. Summer is now live and in full effect. And so is current sports live right now in your ear. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Thursday afternoon. We really appreciate it. When it comes to what's on the docket for today's Thursday edition of current sports, well, I'll be happy to tell you that we plan on having on the show Mr. Desmond Ferguson, who is a household name here in the mid-Michigan community. He's a former Lansing Everett coach. Again, from the area, had a great basketball career back in the day. Played professionally in the NBA and also overseas. And he is also the founder of the uber-successful sports apparel brand known as Moneyball Sportswear. And in addition to that, he has been now holding the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am starting tonight, in which will be the 16th straight year that they've held this Pro-Am. And Desmond is the founder of that. It's always a fun event as Moneyball begins tonight with not one, not two, not three. You usually get three games every Tuesday and Thursday at Aim High in Diamonddale, Michigan. But today you'll be in store for a treat because things will begin a little bit early, I believe around 5 p.m., because there is a special all-star game, professional all-star game that will take place before the tournament officially tips off. All right, so Desmond Ferguson will join us live here on Current Sports to talk about the 16th annual Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. Exciting stuff there, folks. You'll get to see some, you know, some Spartans, some Wolverines, and other college talent and pro talent as well. So that's going to be great. I can't wait to chat with Desmond. Also, because this is, can you believe this? The last Thursday in the month of June, which still blows my mind. Already, we are past the halfway point of 2019, and we'll be ushering in July, and then July 4th is a week from today. Insane in the membrane. But you guys know throughout this month, we have been bringing you my Jamel Journey special, Jamel's Journey special, in which I sat down with Jamel Hill, Michigan State University grad, former broadcaster and writer for ESPN. She has really become a household name and a media powerhouse here in this great nation today. And while she was in town for a Michigan State Alumni Awards ceremony in which she was honored, among others, I took some time to chat with Jamel when it comes to a variety of topics. You've heard Jamel's journey, basically detailing her career and how she's gotten to where she got in the key moments in her career. You also have heard her weigh in on the whole national anthem protest in the National Football League concerning Colin Kaepernick and other athletes out there. You heard her take on Serena Williams and why Serena Williams, the tennis superstar, receives backlash at times when she does decide to use her voice to speak up when it comes to inequality for women's rights and the rights of minorities. And today, I'm going to get a little bit more personal when it comes to Jamel. you'll get a chance to hear firsthand why Jamel decided to leave the mothership, the worldwide leader, ESPN. What went down? And remember the whole 6 o'clock Sports Center test in which she co-hosted that 6 o'clock Sports Center alongside ESPN's Michael Smith? That didn't go too well, and she'll explain why. And she'll also tell you what she's been up to now. This next chapter in her life in which she has a new podcast and in which she is writing for a new publication called The Atlantic. All right, so that will be our Jamel's Journey finale. We'll bring that to you later on this hour as well. I'll also be touching on some NBA free agency news and also what happened to the Michigan Wolverines last night in the College Baseball World Series Championship winner-take-all game against Vanderbilt. What went wrong for the Maize and Blue? That and so much more. If you would like to be a part of the hour, 517-355-WKAR. 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. The live stream up and running there. You can comment right below that live stream, and you can even tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your quick hit headliners. And we start here. The University of Michigan baseball team finished its season just short of a national championship in the deciding game of the College World Series yesterday. Vanderbilt beat the Wolverines 8-2. U of M won game one but lost two straight to the Commodores in Omaha, Nebraska. Vandy has now won its second title in four College World Series appearances, all dating back to 2011. The other championship came in 2014. Jordan Brewer and Blake Nelson got the only two RBIs for the Wolverines in the loss. Actually, Jordan Brewer was the first one to score for the Wolverines and get the party started early. And when I saw that, I'm saying, okay, maybe destiny is on the side of the Maize and Blue. But then Vandy just got hot. Yeah. So, U of M finishes the year 50-22 on the season, 16-7 in the Big Ten Conference with Eric Backus leading the program. Awesome stuff. So, you know, despite the loss on college baseball's biggest stage, still one incredible year and an improbable run, postseason run, that nobody saw coming for the Michigan Wolverines. All right, so congratulations to them despite that loss. Also, despite the loss to Vandy, if you're a Wolverine fan who's into golf, this news should cheer you up because three straight birdies amidst a blistering back nine catapulted Traverse City's Anika Dye, who is a future Michigan Wolverine. Anika won the 2019 Women's Open Championship yesterday. She carded a 4-under-68 during the final round at Crystal Mountain Resort's Mountain Ridge course to become the second amateur to win during the event's 26-year history and the youngest competitor to do so at the tender age of 17. How about that? She wound up at 12-under for the tourney, five strokes ahead of Macy Hubbard and Haley Hartford, who each finished at 7-under. This is what Dye had to say after accomplishing this remarkable feat. Quote, "I feel pretty happy. I didn't know I won, even on 18. I did not look at the leaderboards at all. I had no idea. I didn't want to get my hopes up. After I got down the trophy presentation, it really hit me.
I feel really proud of the way I played, end quote. So talk about being locked in. Anika had no idea that she had this thing in the bag when she, you know, knocked in that final putt on 18. It was only after the round that she found out that she was the winner. So that is absolutely awesome stuff. So again, Anika Dai winning the Women's Open Championship on Wednesday, and she is a future Michigan Wolverine. She'll be on the links for the Maize and Blue come next season. All right, one of the top players on Michigan football's 2020 recruiting board and a perfect fit for Josh Gattis's offensive system says he's coming to Ann Arbor. A.J. Henning, a five-star receiver from Illinois, announced his commitment to Michigan via Twitter. He's the seventh player to publicly commit to Michigan's 2020 class since Sunday. Henning is a 5'11", 183-pound quick twitch receiver who has been clocked with a verified 4.46. That's pretty fast. 40-yard dash time. He was part of Michigan's massive official visit contingent this past weekend, and the Illinois native picked Michigan over offers from schools like Georgia, Notre Dame, Penn State, Ohio State, Alabama, LSU, Michigan State, Tennessee, Wisconsin, and a ton of other collegiate male. Hennis is the number 80th ranked player nationally and the numero uno player in Illinois. All right, the NBA season may be over, but as I mentioned, that doesn't mean your only form of any kind of basketball is putting on some 2K and wilding out on a remote. That's because the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am begins tonight. Each roster has at least two Michigan State basketball players on it, meaning there will be four MSU players on the court for each game. At 5 p.m. today, there will also be an all-star game between Team Moneyball and the Cleveland Akron, Pro-Am team. So Team Moneyball and Cleveland Akron will play to kick off the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am beginning at 5 p.m. at Aim High in Diamonddale, Michigan. The Moneyball team features former Michigan State star Darrell Summers. Yeah, does that name ring a bell? Haven't heard the name Darrell Summers in a long, long time. And also former NBA player and Oakland star Kay Felder will be on the court as well. So awesome stuff. Again, keep it locked right here to Current Sports, because in about 15 minutes or so, we will welcome to the show the founder of Moneyball Sportswear and the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am, Desmond Ferguson, is scheduled to be a part of Current Sports in just a moment. All right, so don't turn that dial. All right, the Detroit Tigers. Oh, boy, they're collecting L's like a sneakerhead collecting Air Jordan 1s, right? They really are. It's just loss after loss after loss after loss. They now have lost their last five straight, including a loss last night to the Texas Rangers, 4-1 the final there. The Rangers scored three runs in the fifth inning, with the Tigers only getting five hits total. Brandon Dixon got the only RBI for the Tigers in losing fashion. The Tigers are now 26-49 on the season, are fourth in the American League Central. Their next game is going on right now as I speak against the Texas Rangers. I'll be sure, if you want me to. Yes, I got you, right? It's my job. I'll be sure to give you a score update throughout the hour. Right now, it's scoreless at the top of the first, so they literally just got underway minutes ago. All right, so there you have that. All right, and just 3 days remain until the craziness that is NBA free agency officially gets underway. Sunday at 6 p.m., you are going to want to have your smartphone in hand and your Twitter feed up and running, because I am sure there's going to be some craziness.
And also, got to make sure that you're following Woj and make sure you're following every single tweet, him and Shams both.
If you're not following Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, and you shouldn't call yourself a sports fan, Alec. I mean, that dude has no life. He's kind of like, you know, Adam Schefter, the Michigan grad, for the world of the NFL. It's like those two guys, you have to follow those two, because they have connections that are far-reaching. They know everybody. They get the scoop. It's amazing how those two do their jobs. I don't know if you saw, actually, the HBO report on Schefter. that was done. And his life, he has no life, Alex.
I mean, I couldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine this man even goes to, like, Meijer and shops for groceries. Like, does, I don't even think he has the time to do that.
You know, it's an interesting aspect to that story. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the Adam Schefter HBO documentary, he married a 9/11 widow. And, you know, that's a really interesting aspect to that story. But surprisingly, you know, Adam Schefter has found an interesting balance between family life and doing his job, which is crazy. And what
that's
helps,
insane to me.
ESPN knows how valuable he is. They have built an in-home studio, you know, at his residence where he can go live. If something breaks, all he has to do is just throw on, you know, a suit jacket, shirt and tie, and he'll sit down in his underwear and they'll just go live. There's like this little camera that pops open in his closet and he'll just sit there and it's got a little cool background that you can throw up and he can go live from his house at any time of the day.
That's like some superhero kind of stuff. Like they have like they have like the beacon shining like when a trade happens or something, and he's like, crazy. All right, my call to action.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, he's like Batman, dude,
seriously.
He really is. And also, they've given him a private driver to take him everywhere because they don't want him driving.
Oh my God.
Because at one point, Alec, and this is also detailed in the story, there was one moment where they needed Adam to call in because there was a huge trade in the NFL going down. And he happened to be driving in a snowstorm. And while he's on the phone, the car swerves and he almost gets into a really serious accident. After that moment, they realize that his hands need to be on smartphones and not steering wheels.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, all right, he's so valuable that we're going to give him a private driver to take him everywhere that he needs to be. He does not need to be behind the wheel at all. So, man, when you got connections like that, dude, you get
that's how you know you made it.
You know you made it, right? I mean, but you got to work for that. I mean,
it's not like that
fell into Schefty or Adrian Wojnarowski's lap. I mean, these dudes, again, they have connections. They know how to build relationships. And again, that's the reason why, you know, they're paid the big bucks and they get the scoop on everybody. So, but yeah, I'm sure Adrian is going to be tweeting a lot come Sunday night into the next week. It's going to be crazy. It should be a fun Monday edition of Current Sports, all right? Kawhi Leonard, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker. There's a host of names that could be on the move come Sunday at 6 p.m. All right, also, Tyreek Hill. He completed his meeting with NFL investigators in Kansas City on Wednesday regarding a recent child abuse allegation against the KC Chiefs wide receiver. Hill met with Lisa Friel, the NFL's senior VP of special counsel for investigations, and also other league officials, and was represented by his personal lawyer and an NFL Players Association lawyer. This was Hill's first interview with the league and opportunity to answer allegations of child abuse toward his 3-year-old son. The receiver also was expected to be asked in the interview about audio released by a local TV station on April 26. We played that audio here on Current Sports, in which Hill is heard administering threats to his fiance and discussing using a belt to discipline his son. So there is no timetable for a ruling on Hill's case. Also, I'm going to play this for you. TMZ released audio of the 911 call that former Michigan State running back, great now, of course, ripping it up in the NFL, former Pittsburgh Steelers running back now with the New York Jets, Le'Veon Bell, whom he alleges that two women that he left in his house stole more than $500,000 worth of jewelry. We actually have that audio. I meant to play it yesterday. We have it saved in our system right now. We have it ready. I want you to hear how the 911 call went between Le'Veon Bell and the 911 operator.
Hollywood, Florida.
Oh, okay. Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, I had two girls in my house, and I did my normal routine to go work out. So I left to work out for a couple hours. When I came back, they took my money. They took my watch, my jewelry, a couple more things of value out of my house. And I don't know where they're at. I tried to call them before I called you guys. I tried to call them, and they're not answering me, and they're ignoring me.
When did this happen?
This happened today.
No. Okay, what all did you say was taken? I know you said money.
So, money, my jewelry, and other things of value, so like clothes, shoes, you know, just like other things of value around the house, like things that I use, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, okay.
But really clothes, shoes, money.
Okay, what is the total?
Money and my jewelry.
What is the total estimated value of the items?
Oh, like $1 million.
Since you said that you know the girls who did this, I need to get their description. Are they white, black, or Hispanic?
The girls, they're one is mixed, and they're both mixed. They're both mixed.
Okay, their skin color, if an officer was to drive by, would they look more white, black, or Hispanic?
Well, one will look more black, and the other one will look more Hispanic.
Okay, the one that looks more black, how old is she?
23.
What was she wearing today?
I mean, when I left, she was in the bed. She was in the bed, not wearing clothes, but she left. So I didn't see her when she, you know what I'm saying?
Okay, and the other one, you said she looked more Hispanic, is that correct?
Like, she looked more like, if anything, like, white or Hispanic, yes.
Okay, how old is she?
She's 21.
And what was she seen last seen wearing today?
The same way, she was in the bed too. They didn't have clothes on. Yeah.
Oh, okay, what is her phone number?
Okay, Alec. I don't know about you, man, but there are a lot of funny things about this story. First off, I hope Le'Veon learns his lesson. This is just stupid. This was stupid. This was incredibly stupid. I don't know how if there's any other word to use here. Le'Veon Bell was stupid here. First off, there's two naked women in his that he calls his girlfriends. Both of them are his girlfriends that he left in his residence. All right, so they're both unclothed in his bed. Le'Veon decides the next morning to go work out. First off, that's incredible discipline. Props to Le'Veon Bell for that. I mean, goodness. All right, so you work out the next morning. You leave these two unclothed women in your house, unattended. You come back. They steal, again, estimated $500,000 worth of jewelry. In the audio call, I didn't know there was more than that. They took some other items like shoes and clothes, and Le'Veon estimates it's around $1 million when you value the total amount that they took. Just incredibly idiotic. And, again, I don't know what other way to put this. We've got Jack Kerwin and Alec Rio behind the glass right now on this Thursday edition of Current Sports. But it's hilarious, though. When you listen to the details of this story, it is absolutely hilarious. And, you know, if you do something stupid like that, you know, if you leave two women that you call your girlfriends, first off, they just gave you the old-fashioned okey-doke right there, man. That's just the, oh, we got us a sucker here. They knew what they were doing. Oh, he left us alone? And he never heard back from him. So just a lesson to athletes out there to anytime you reach a stature of that nature, there's going to be leeches that come out of nowhere. I can only imagine. But this is comical, though. You can't even lie. Jack, Jack, your thoughts on this story?
They played this on Detroit Sports Talk Radio a couple days ago, so I got to listen to it. Yeah, for one, I'm not sure how I'm supposed to come to any conclusion other than Le'Veon Bell's like the dumbest human being on planet Earth. But second, you got to give props to the 911 operator. I mean, she stayed incredibly calm throughout this whole thing when at first Le'Veon Bell doesn't flinch, saying he had $1 million worth of stuff stolen. And then later on when she asks him what the girls were wearing, and he pauses for a minute and explains that they were both naked in his bed, she remained extremely calm throughout the whole process.
Yeah, I guess she's just doing her job, man. She's just doing her job. I can only imagine the kind of call she gets on a regular basis, right?
How through part of it does it not cross your mind that this might be like a prank call?
That's
a guy's
true.
Telling you he's had $1 million stolen out of his house and because he left two naked women in his house while he went to go work out.
That is so true. I don't know. I guess the area that he lives in is one that is of high financial status, so maybe that's taken into account as well. But yeah, it's comical, man. It really is. Le'Veon Bell having, you know, over $500,000 worth of jewelry stolen and other items that total around $1 million.
You got to be smarter than that, man.
The conversation sounded like it was just a friend calling another friend about how he had lost $20, and he was hoping that he's like, hey.
Well, yeah, it's a drop in the bucket for Le'Veon Bell.
I know.
I mean, $1 million, 500K to us. Oh, my goodness. I dream of that kind of money.
Oh,
right?
Me too.
But for Le'Veon Bell, I mean, you know, this guy is worth
pocket change.
A whole lot of money. Signed a ridiculous contract with the Jets. So that's just, yeah, like you said, it's pocket change. That's a drop in the bucket. So just wanted to play that for you because it's absolutely hilarious. All right, folks. Again, phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We'll be talking with Desmond Ferguson in just a moment. Let's hit a button right now and, you know, take a brief pause as I dive into some NBA free agency. But again, phone lines are open, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. All right, don't know if you guys saw this. I have a question when it concerns Zion Williamson. This is pretty remarkable, you know, because it didn't take long for the now rookie with the New Orleans Pelicans to break his first NBA record. Did you see? The former Duke University star, he sold more jerseys and T-shirts than any other already in the NBA draft was just like, you know, a hop and a skip ago. Already he has sold more jerseys and T-shirts than any other rookie in the history. In the history of the NBA. Again, in the first 5 days after the NBA draft. Fanatics is the realm that's reporting this right now. You know, an NBA partner that operates the league's online store. Williamson jersey hit stores on last Friday afternoon. That's when his jersey hit the stores. Hours after the Pelicans had drafted him with the first overall pick. And the 6'7", 285-pound rook, his Nike jersey sells for around $100 online, $109.99 to be exact. And again, he has sold more jerseys and T-shirts than all first-round picks from the 2018 NBA draft class combined. And number two on that list now is Williamson's former teammate at Duke. The third overall pick in the 2019 NBA draft, that being Rowan Alexander, better known as R.J. Barrett Jr., both Williamson and Barrett more than doubled the previous rookie sales record set by Lonzo Ball, who went number one overall to the L.A. Lakers in 2017. So I didn't know that Lonzo had the previous rookie sales record. That's kind of comical, to be honest with you. And I'll just say this too, Alec, to clear this up. First off, it is quite the accomplishment. It's not surprising. It's Zion Williamson. I think that Zion Williamson is going to be a star. Those that sit back and doubt whether or not Zion Williamson is going to be a stud and superstar in the league, you're not looking closely. You aren't looking closely at what he did in college, what he can do in the NBA. He's already got the superstar charisma. You know, that interview with Maria Taylor alongside his mother after he got drafted. I mean, he's got a $1 million smile. He's incredibly marketable, already bringing in revenue for the league, doing stuff like this. Nola is going insane, not for any reason. He is a dynamic player. He can guard all five positions. He can shoot. He's powerful. You know, he's a fast break nightmare. This kid is going to be really, really good. Even though I still say that John Morant, in his first year, it's all about situations. John Morant is being drafted to a team in the Memphis Grizzlies in which he can come in and just pad stats. You know, they're going to rely on him heavily next season. Zion, look at that Pelicans roster. There's a lot of other weapons on that team as well. He's going to have to play nice with others as well. All right, but you give Zion 2 to 3 years, superstar. And he's going to be a superstar next year, I think. He's going to be an all-star next year. But I'm just saying, as far as, you know, seeing crazy numbers, we may not see that until year maybe two or three with him. But he's already a stud. But when it comes to this you know, because I had a conversation with my homie this morning about this topic, Alec. And I want to say this. It's a bit skewed because in 2019, I mean, you can hop on your smartphone now. You can hop on your laptop or tablet. And you don't have to physically go to a store and buy the jersey of a said player now.
I was going to bring that up.
It's so easy now, right?
Yeah, just like compared to like 2002, 2003, like around the time LeBron got drafted, like commercially you couldn't get things as easily. And, you know, basketball wasn't as internationally as popular as it is now. So you got people from all over the world buying Zion Williamson jerseys. And right. it's just because of the fact of how much more advanced we've become since LeBron getting drafted. I think that that's why Zion passed him.
Definitely. And that's the thing. I mean, it's at your fingertips now. You don't have to go to a store and, you know, hop in the car, you know, go and get gas and go and drive to, I don't know, your local sports apparel company and buy the jersey now. You can just go on your phone. It's a few clicks away. Boom, it's delivered right to your doorstep now. And like you said, the game has changed. It's become more international over time now. But this, without a doubt, is still an amazing accomplishment. You know, and it's not like, you know, Zion plays in a huge NBA market. I mean, this is New Orleans. You know, New Orleans is a football city. It's not a basketball city. The Saints run that town. And also, it was pretty cool to see Drew Brees, give his jersey to Zion Williams. And I don't know if you guys caught that moment on social media. That was really cool. And it was kind of like a, you know, Drew said it was like a passing of the torch kind of thing. You know, it's your city now, that kind of thing, which was pretty awesome. But NOLA is known for football. It's not a big basketball market. And I think we're seeing a trend in the NBA now. I mean, heck, just look at the NBA awards. A lot of those NBA awards went to cities that aren't huge NBA markets. They just aren't. You know, I mean, we're talking like, you know, Toronto just recently became one. All right, they don't have this huge historical tradition, right? You look at Milwaukee as well. I mean, Milwaukee's not known as an NBA powerhouse historically either. You know, you look at Utah. You know, we saw Giannis, we saw Rudy Gobert, you know, Pascal Siakam. These are small market NBA cities that are getting a lot of attention because of what you just stated, Alec, the game being so international, the game having such a rich appeal, and the game more so being about stars than teams now. And there is certainly a shift. But I think this kid's going to be a star, and I can't wait to watch his rookie season. But, yeah, Zion Williamson breaking the NBA jersey sales, shattering an NBA rookie record. Amazing stuff. The kid is amazing. He really is. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we hope to have on our phone lines Desmond Ferguson, the founder of Moneyball Sportswear, as well as the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. Tonight tips off the 16th year of the Moneyball Summer League. We'll talk with Desmond Ferguson when we come back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, and tonight, it is going to be insane, folks. The Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am tips off tonight, actually at 5 p.m. There's going to be an all-star showcase starting at 5 p.m. as Team Moneyball is going to play against Team Cleveland/Akron. All right? And then you get, you know, three games after that. Just a fun time. Every Tuesday and Thursday, you know, throughout the summer, you just see people just pack the gym for this because it's really cool Because, you know, one, it's probably your favorite word, right? F-R-E-E. It's free donations. Accept it, though. All right. I stress that because, you know, this is so special where you get a chance to see some of your favorite athletes in college in the sport of basketball, some of your favorite pros even who show up randomly. You know, that's a treat. And what Desmond Ferguson and what, you know, his team at Moneyball do, you know, hey, throw them a few dollars. Throw them a few donations for this because, you know, they put in a lot of work. A lot of planning goes into this to put on a good show each and every summer for you guys. You know, so show that you appreciate it. You know, I always say that. So it's free, but it's not free, according to me. All right. So it kicks off tonight, and it's always fun checking out this thing throughout the summer. Again, it's a one-of-a-kind opportunity for you guys as fans to get an up-close and personal, informal look at some of your favorite basketball athletes in college, up close in person. You can, you know, a lot of you fans go right up to these players afterwards, and you get autographs, you take pictures. It's absolutely awesome. And right now, I have on the line the founder of Moneyball Sportswear and the founder of the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League, Mr. Desmond Ferguson. Des, what's up, my man?
Hey, how you doing?
Always good chatting with you, dude. And you know, I want to start here. Before we dive into the specifics of what makes this year of Moneyball special, again, tipping off tonight, I want to ask you, Des, because I you know, we've had conversations in the past, and I know you're a hip-hop fan. And I couldn't help but think this morning when I was prepping, you know, my reading notes. I'm a diehard hip-hop guy, too. And we have been talking a lot here on Current Sports in the recent weeks here, ever since it happened, actually on the same day that Michigan State beat Duke, the death of Nipsey Hussle. And it's affected many in the black community in ways that I had no idea it was going to impact us. Me as well. I mean, my goodness, I still think about Nip, man. And you know, I thought about you. You being, you know, this uber-talented player who played professionally, you went over and played overseas, and then you become a businessman here in the local community, and you start Moneyball Sportswear, and you're giving back to the community. I see a lot of parallels between what Nip was doing in his hometown out in California and what you're doing here locally in Lansing. Did Nipsey Hussle inspire you at all, Desmond?
Yeah, that's crazy you said that. Yeah, he is one of my favorite rappers, and you know, really over the last 10 years, has been a great inspiration for me. You know, just from a business standpoint, from a grind standpoint, because that's what, you know, he represented, to from togetherness, to giving back to your community, to growing with those that you come up with, and everything. Like, he represented everything good about business, about life, about hip hop. So he definitely inspired me, even though, you know, younger than me, he definitely inspired me. I like MCs and rappers, you know, such as himself, such as Jay-Z. But Jay-Z is kind of on a whole another level now. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Billionaire,
right?
Where, you know, Nipsey was like, I kind of relate more to him. You know, seeing him grind over the last 10 years and grow his businesses, you know, grow his career, and you know, obviously he's much older now after death, unfortunately. But I think he was going to reach that in the living presence, you know, at the rate he was going.
Definitely. And Des, when you found out that he had been gunned down, you know, right outside of his Marathon clothing store, and then, you know, we found out later on that evening that he had unfortunately passed away, what was your reaction, man? And what kind of conversation did you have with your team at Moneyball and some of your homies when talking about this death?
I mean, at first it's shocking, and, you know, okay, he got shot and he's going to pull through it, because, you know, we lived through the era. Well, I've lived through the era of, you know, great hip hop, you know, MCs who passed away. You know, in particular, when you talk about Biggie, when you talk about Tupac, and even when you talk about a Left Eye or Aaliyah, who are, you know, in their prime doing things, or not even getting to their prime, but we're still huge artists. It made me think of that same situation with Nipsey. But with Nipsey, it hit me even harder. You know what I'm saying? For whatever reason, it probably hit me harder than anybody that I've never known. Like, I don't know Nipsey personally, you know, I never interacted with him, but it's almost like I knew him because I had a chance to grow with him through his music. So just talked about, you know, all the great stuff he was doing and how big he was becoming and about to be. But yeah, you know, the initial reaction is shock. You know, you kind of don't believe it and hope he's gonna pull through it, and then once you find out he do pass away, it's tough, man. I was probably rocking Nipsey for the first month, and even now, every day, you know what I'm saying, Nipsey all day, every day, because that's my that's my inspiration music. Every time I'm grinding, working out, you know, whatever the case may be, working in business in the morning when nobody around, I'm rocking Nipsey.
Man, I'm right there with you, Dez. I've been playing Victory Lap on a loop, you know what I mean, and Ocean Views, and I could go on and on and on, Dez. So, you know, when you look at what he was able to do, because I think the reason why it hit is so hard, Dez, and continues to do so, is because we saw, you know, this black man in the black community who's really made it. I mean, this dude just got nominated for, you know, a Grammy when it came to the Victory Lap album, you know, on Cloud 9, but he was still in the community giving back, looking out for people who can't look out for themselves, giving them jobs, providing them with encouragement, and we lose a guy like that. What kind of lessons from his life do you implement or try to implement when it comes to the Moneyball brand?
One of the things, you know, I love watching Nipsey interviews, you know, concerts, whatever, but one of the main things I learned from him was patience. You know, he could have went major label years ago. He could have went, you know, a completely different route, but he believed in himself. He bet on himself, and he continued to grow slowly but surely, and that's kind of how I see Moneyball. You know, we've been in business 17 years, and you can find businesses that might have been in business 5 years and, you know, huge companies. But, you know, for me playing for 11 years to coach into, you know, now doing Moneyball 100% time. So just the patience, because I think we all want success right now. We live in a microwave society where everybody wants it right now, but having that patience and knowing that's going to come as you continue to grind, that's probably the main thing that I got from Nipsey, and just seeing his patience and how he was able to, each album, each mixtape, he was able to grow little by little, but and then become, you know, what he is now.
That's so true. Microwave society. I'm going to steal that one, Dez. That's a good way to describe today's generation and the world we live in today. So, amazing, Dez, you know, whether I'm here around Lansing, you know, I was at the gym the other day, and I saw the Moneyball brand on somebody working out. You know, I was in Detroit, you know, 2 weeks ago, and I'm walking around downtown Detroit, and I see somebody rocking Moneyball. I mean, it's everywhere. It really has become, your brand has become a statewide sports apparel brand. How did you grow this thing? I mean, if there's any young entrepreneurs out there right now or anybody out there who's starting a business specifically in clothing, you know, what tips would you give them? How did you grow this thing?
I mean, really, you know, one of the main things we'd like to talk about is building and maintaining relationships. Like, for instance, we, you know, got the Moneyball store, and say we only had two customers come in that particular day, where someone may get frustrated, like, man, I wanted 20, but we want to build a relationship with those two people. So, because when you build that relationship with those two people, they're going to tell two more, and those four are going to tell eight more, and you grow slowly but surely, like I said, you know, being patient. So it's really we've been able to establish some good relationships. I feel we have a quality product with real affordable pricing, and, you know, just over time, and, you know, from the relationships with me playing, either being at University of Detroit or overseas, or, you know, being here from Lansing, you know, we've been able to grow obviously in the state of Michigan and slowly but surely throughout the country. But I'm a firm believer you have to dominate where you're from, your area, your territory, before you can move on other places. So obviously, it's, you know, with us having two stores here in Lansing, and this being our home base, you see a lot more people around here wearing, but we want people all over the state, all over the country, to wear Moneyball and be a household name. So we obviously not there yet, but that's the end goal.
Well, I tell you what, you keep on trucking, man, and I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but Dez, you also just opened up a store in the Metro Detroit area in Southfield too, right?
Yep. Third store we just opened in Southfield 2 months ago. You know, with me, I was born in Detroit, but raised in Lansing. We moved here to Lansing when I was 2 years old, so I'm from Lansing. Mm-hmm. You never hear me say I'm from Detroit, but all my family is from Detroit. I went to school at University of Detroit Mercy. So, and when we first started doing uniforms, we first started doing it in Detroit Public School League. So that's kind of how Moneyball started in Metro Detroit, in the city of Detroit, and then obviously Lansing been a home base. So it's kind of going back to the roots, you know, in that Metro Detroit area.
Man, when you hear the stories, you know, like I just stated, you know, Dez, I see your Moneyball logo everywhere now. How much pride does that give you? I'm pretty sure you've had instances where you're just walking around the city here locally and you see your brand on somebody just casually walking down the street or, you know, at the grocery store somewhere. How much pride does that give you, man? It's got to feel good.
Yeah, man, it gives me a lot of pride. I mean, you know, Moneyball is my baby. Like I said, going back to 2002, although I do have a baby, a.k.a. young son, but, you know, it's been my baby that I've been able to grow from the dirt, from the mud, from the ground up. You know, and early on, if somebody was wearing Moneyball, I know how they got it, when they got it. I know that person. They knew me. But now it feels good. I can see somebody I have money ball on, and I can walk right past them. They can walk right past me. I don't know who they are. They don't know who they are. So that kind of let me know the brand is growing a little bit.
Yeah, you are doing one heck of a job, Dez. Again, we're chatting with the founder of Moneyball Sportswear, as well as the founder of the Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League, the one, the only, Desmond Ferguson. So let's dive right into the Summer League now, Dez. It begins tonight. I can't believe it's already that time of the summer, beginning with this all-star showcase that should be pretty fun. Just can you tell us a little bit about what's going to make, I believe, the 16th annual now Moneyball Pro-Am Summer Basketball League special?
Yeah, well, you know, like you said, first of all, it's the 16th year. It kind of shows the longevity and, you know, been through the ups and downs, and it's really kind of took off the last, you know, 5 years or so. But the added thing we're doing this year is having the Moneyball Pro-Am versus the Cleveland Pro-Am, you know, kind of all-star game. It's something we've kind of been working on for a couple of years. We've done the jerseys and uniforms for them that just passed. Their summer league started like a week or two ago. So we've been trying to work on a home-and-home game. Finally made it happen. I thought it was a good addition to kind of jump it off, the Pro-Am having that. So it basically consists of pro guys, the guys out of college. Division One guys can't play in so-called all-star games where they still have eligibility. That's why it's just pro players. So we'll play them at 5 o'clock, and then we'll, you know, schedule as usual, 3 games, 6, 7, and 8, because we have 6 teams in the Pro-Am. So this is the only day a game will start at 5 o'clock. Every Tuesday and Thursday that we play would be 6, 7, 8 o'clock, just 3 games.
Gotcha. And can you kind of just take us through some of the highlights? I mean, you don't have to, you know, go roster by roster, but some of the highlights when it comes to the rosters that you've set up. And also a two-part question here, Dez, what goes into talking with these young college athletes, these star athletes, to try and get them to play in the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am? I mean, is it like pulling teeth, or are they usually pretty willing to play in this thing every year, every single year?
Yeah, they're willing to play. You know, when I first started the league back in 2004, I went down and sat with Izzo, kind of let him know my vision, what I wanted to do. And, you know, he was on board. And that was a huge part. Like, you have different programs around the country that's, you know, kind of focused on, you know, more so programs, more so pro players. We don't have a huge volume of pro players, so I knew we had to do ours really based around college guys. And once Michigan State came on board, then that's when Oakland came on board, and Western and Central. And, you know, so our league is kind of built around the Division One basketball players, and then we kind of go from there with, ex college guys that's playing professionally or overseas, or the D2 guys or the junior college guys. But we build the teams from the Division One guys. And as you know, or you don't know, just for the listeners, it's only NCAA rules state that it's only 2 players from the university on each team. Mm-hmm. That's why, you know, Michigan State has 12 guys in it, but 2 per each team. You can't have 3 or 4 guys from the same university on the same team. So we kind of build teams from there. So, you know, Michigan State guys have really been, ever since we started, man, they've really been on board. Early on, we used to have our games on Saturdays and Sundays. And just like me and everybody else, kind of wanted to travel and leave on a weekend. So the player engagement and participation wasn't quite all the way there. But once we changed to Tuesday and Thursday, it's been, really great because, you know, there's not much going on in Lansing during the week. Players are available. So it starts with the players. When they make that commitment to come, we had good games, and the fans want to come see it, and that's what it's all about. But, all the state guys playing as usual. Got some of the U of M guys this year. You'll see some former state guys, former college guys, you know, guys from whether it be Wayne State, Oakland University. So, you know, it's a wide range of talent that we're able to have right here in Michigan.
Yeah, that is very true, and it's going to be really cool to see some of the Michigan players playing against the Michigan State players on the same court. And Dez, I've always been interested to ask you this question because the team names just seem to get cooler and cooler every single year. You got Team Dimension and Team Freeze and Cosmic and Roots. What goes into the team name and the jersey makeup?
Well, yeah, I would like to, but I can't take full credit for that. Our head designer, Jeffrey Sykes, who does all our uniform designs and everything, he came up with those names based on the design of the uniforms. And, you know, what we really try to show with the Pro-Am is what we can do from a uniform standpoint, you know, because we specialize in custom team uniforms and really getting creative with designs and changing it each year. Early on, every team had the same design, just a different color. But we decided, why not show some different fabrics, different designs for each team. So, you know, he's the brainchild behind that. I can't take credit for that one.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I love the names. I love the jersey colors that you guys will be donning this summer. And final question, Dez, I'm curious, you know, with this being the 16th year, what was the craziest year that you can remember out of those 16? Because for me, it was definitely when Miles Bridges was balling out when he did those two summers that he balled out for you. Or was it one summer? Was it one summer or two summers with Miles? I can't remember.
It was two summers
because people, yeah. I mean, I would get there and I would have to park near like Pluto to try and get to the door. I mean, yeah. It was nuts. What was the craziest year for you that you remember when, you know, you had a packed gym and it was standing room only like when Miles was there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've had, you know, over the years, guys, you talk about guys in the NBA that's, you know, from the area or from the Michigan State. Denzel Valentine brought people out, you know, mm-hmm. Draymond Green brought people out, but nobody brought them out like Miles Bridges did because he's just the perfect summer league, you know, up and down dunking type of game person, you know what I'm saying? And he just, you know, then social media get a hold of it too. So once they get a hold of it and everything go viral and it becomes even bigger. So, yeah, I think definitely that Miles effect coming into his freshman year with those group of guys kind of took it to even another level.
Without a doubt. You know, I'm getting a comment here, and I would be remiss if I didn't at least try to ask you this, Dez. But, you know, it's always fun because we may not know until, like, the day of at times. You know, a special mm-hmm. guest from the pros may come in town. I'm just going to ask you and see what you say. Are there any big-time names that you can give us right now here on WKAR's Current Sports that may show up throughout the summer?
You just might want to be at the Moneyball Pro-Am every Tuesday and Thursday for the summer at 6, 7, and 8 p.m. at Aim High because you never know who's going to show up.
That was a great answer, Dez.
I'm going to give you that.
The politically correct answer, right, Dez? Oh, man,
No doubt.
I love it, man. Hey, brother, keep up the great work. I'm looking forward to seeing you every Tuesday and Thursday out there, man, all right?
You going to be out here tonight?
Yes, of course. I can't miss night one. Come on now.
Okay, well, yeah, I'll see you later on there.
You got it. Again, the one and the only Desmond Ferguson. I love that answer. That was great. All right, Alec, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Thursday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports, and time flies when you're having fun. And that was a fun interview with the one, the only Desmond Ferguson, the founder of the Moneyball sportswear apparel brand, as well as the founder of the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am, which begins tonight at 5 p.m. There's going to be four games instead of three. Also want to note that next week, you know, every Tuesday and Thursday, this thing throughout the summer happens. Next week, Thursday is, of course, the holiday, July 4th. That's the only week. Next week is the only week where there would just be one Moneyball night. And that's going to be that Tuesday. All right. So next week, Thursday is July 4th. Everybody will be with their fam and friends, relaxing, enjoying the holiday. There will be no Moneyball Summer League Pro-Am next week, Thursday. But from there on out, you will have basketball at Aim High in Diamonddale every Tuesday and Thursday. And I wanted to get, you know, we've been running this Jamel's Journey special for you guys. I'm going to get to it tomorrow because, you know, that interview just went long and I can't fit it in today. So I'm gonna give you the final installment of Jamel's Journey, which she details why she left ESPN. I'll have it available for you all at WKAR.org later on this evening. It will also be posted on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. That final installment also debuted early this morning on Morning Edition, hosted by our very own Scott Pohl. So I can't get to it today. I'll play it tomorrow for you guys. But, you know, I was joking with you, Alec, as we hit that final break after chatting with Dez. He did a good job dodging that question, didn't he?
He did.
He did a really good job dodging. Now, if I had to guess, if I had to guess, again, he just said, hey, show up to Moneyball every Tuesday and Thursday. But if I had to guess, you want to be there every Tuesday and Thursday because you really just don't know. You'll get, you know, you may get word day of. I remember when Jabari Parker came, you know, that was like day of. I got word like an hour before that night that he was going to be in town and playing in a Moneyball jersey. And we shot over there, you know, to check out Jabari. But you really have no idea. So you want to be there. You really do want to be there every Tuesday and Thursday because you just don't know who's going to show up. But if I had to guess, looking at the Twitter feeds of Miles Bridges and Jaren Jackson Jr., Miles wants to play, and I think he'll show up. You know, he's like Miles was like the biggest draw I've ever seen. It got so crazy that summer when Miles played, like the second summer when Miles played, especially when he announced that he was coming back from Michigan State that summer, it got so crazy that on numerous occasions, on the day that you knew that Miles' team was playing, Alec, it was like standing room only, and the fire marshals had to come in and say, we got to turn some people away. It became a fire hazard because that gym went over capacity. And it was, you know, it's so hot, the AC in, you know, in the gym in the summertime, it's so bad. So everybody's sweating, but smiling as they sweat because they know that Miles Bridges is going to play, and there were, you know, just highlight dunk after highlight dunk after highlight dunk. It was crazy. It was crazy. So I don't think any year, any summer is going to top the summer that was Miles Bridges at the Moneyball League Summer Pro-Am. And as I stated, as I made very clear yesterday, listeners, please temper your emotions. When you go out to Aim High every Tuesday and Thursday, no. That this is a summer league. Don't come back and say, boy, Alb, I tell you what, Rocket Watts is really lighting it up from three. That means he's going to score 30 next year for MSU basketball. Stop it. It's summer ball. Nobody's playing defense. Okay? Just enjoy it. It's entertainment. All right? Enjoy Moneyball tonight, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. And be easy, people.